Radha Krishna who are with their associates? Or do you worship, do you do the five nectars in general and worship Govardhan? Or you do the five nectars as your worship of Govardhan? And there are many different ways of translating this verse, and we really spent a lot of time especially referencing the commentary before we really decided that this would be the most accurate translation, and hopefully Raghunath Das Goswami is pleased with this. So here are five nectars: worship, glories, meditation, listening to divine pastimes, and offering obeisances. And again, you can see how these can be done by anybody. These can be done by anybody. But at this point in the Padati, we're talking about someone who's fully realized their swarup, and they're engaging in these according to their eternal nature, fully living in Vrindavan. To congregationally chant the holy name of the Lord, at least mentally living in Vrindavan. To offer prostrated obeisances, 8-point obeisances before the deity or any object that brings out a remembrance of the Lord. To meditate on the divine names, form, qualities, Krishna's associates, Krishna's pastimes. To taste the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of pure devotees. And to bathe Govardhan with these five nectars. And these five nectars should also fill our heart and our life. And following the rules to worship Govardhan. Of course, one can worship Govardhan by worshiping a Govardhan Shila, by meditating on Govardhan, by going to Govardhan, circumambulating Govardhan. But in some way, to be calling out to Govardhan. And of course, Raghunath Das Goswami received a Govardhan Shila from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly, and we've chosen that as the cover for the book, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu giving Raghunath Das Goswami his Govardhan Shila. And why Govardhan? Because there, Krishna is always surrounded by his friends, and Radharani always by their friends. This is a holy pastime at Govardhan. The only music I have in this presentation. A few people say to me, your Ramchandra one was awful in music. I even have it in this one. Maybe next time I show it. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in his commentary on this verse that generally one first does some service at a distance. And then, while gradually serving the assistants from a distance, we get service that bring us closer to the Lord's intimate associates, and then we gradually achieve direct service. But as this is the inner path, as this is the inner path of spontaneous love for Krishna, so one continues to do things like put on tilak, take charanamrita, just as the devotees who've not yet awakened to perfection. So the outer duties continue. So now we're done, and we come now to the blessing. Mana shiksha radisha shaka varame tan maduraya gira gaya tu chai samadhi gata sarvataya tiya sayuta shri rupanu gaiha bhavan gokulavane Jano Radha Krishna Tulava Jana Ratnam Salabhate. Becoming a follower of Sri Rupa and his companions, one who with a sweet voice loudly recites these 11 supreme verses which give instructions to the mind and strives to understand all of their meanings completely, obtains the incomparable jewel of worshipping Sri Sri Radha Krishna in the forest of Gokula. So here is the benedictory verse. The jewels, we have Krishna's earrings here. Krishna likes to wear dolphin, shark, or makara earrings. Following Rupa and his associates, as Rupa Goswami received instructions from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and wrote those instructions, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Upadesh Amrita, and Raghunath Das Goswami, who wrote Mana Shiksha on the bank of Radhakund. And this verse can be translated either do this in Vraja, or by doing it, you will obtain Vraja. Or both. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his commentary goes extensively into the glories of Raja. And he says, Radharani has some pride about Raja. Her pride is, this forest is mine. May that Vrindavan forest be my shelter. And of course, our only entrance into this path is through Srila Prabhupada, whose entire Hare Krishna movement is the personification of the inner path of Raghunath Das Goswami to attain the love of Radha and Krishna and their associates in Vrindavan. So thank you very much. Raghunath Das Goswami ki jai. Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So on the absolute order of Pran Govinda Prabhu, we are taking some questions, although, as I said, we'll have more time for discussions in Gainesville, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 6:30. We'll be doing this bit by bit. So tomorrow we'll be doing just 6 and 7. Then on Tuesday we'll be doing 8, 9, 10. And on Wednesday we'll be doing 11 and 12. So questions, comments, corrections, additions, subtractions, chastisements. Yes, Jen Master Prabhu.
You made the point yesterday. Is it okay if I ask on yesterday too?
Of course.
Okay. About how devotional service, we shouldn't at all be concerned with the external results. That's not what's required to please Krishna. Did I get that right?
I don't think so, but probably something close.
In other words, if we just try to do our service.
Oh, about success and failure. I think that was with Jatayu.
Well, I just recall you making a point that the results, the external results,
are not the measure of success.
That's it.
That was the presentation on Ramchandra about Jatayu. Yeah.
Okay. So one thing is that being a Sankirtan devotee for many years, Prabhupada did very much emphasize results in that particular
results,
service,
yeah.
He often would say, "Phalena pari chiyate," and that you can judge a thing by its results. And certainly, in his days with us, he was really pushing the development of the movement, and it seemed that that was a key factor in pleasing him to offer results.
Wonderful question, yes.
So your point is well taken, but then on the other hand...
So you have to get the other hand. So the other hand is one of the 26 qualities of a devotee. Which of the 26 qualities of a devotee relates to what you're bringing up? Expert! So it's not that because I'm a devotee, I don't care about the results. Jatayu wasn't trying to lose. He wasn't like, "Oh, Ram's pleased if I just kind of show up and hang out here." He was trying to win. He was endeavoring to win. I was once in a temple where twice in two different temples at two different times in my life in the Hare Krishna movement, where the cook didn't believe in recipes. All you needed was bhakti, She made avocado halva. Oh, my God. Hare Krishna. We're supposed to try to be expert. We don't intentionally give Krishna the banana peels. We don't say, "Yeah, Prabhupada, I went out, but I was not attached to how many books I distributed. So mostly I just sat down and chatted Bhagavad Gita slokas, and anybody wanted to come but could get a book, they could just get one." I'm not concerned about the result, that python in the Bhagavatam. So I'm kind of like that. Just lie around. There was, before the internet, there used to be a publication, a devotional public, I forget the name of it. But in the back of it were personal ads that you were advertising if you wanted to find a life partner. And one of them said, sometimes I wish I was making up these stories. Anyway, I'm not. This was somebody who wrote it. He said, "My favorite service is to sleep and dream about Krishna." Did you know that? will you marry me? You know, it's like. At the same, but you can't really judge. When we say we judge by the result, what are the results? This is the same thing that that Jesus said. He says you judge a tree by its fruits. If you say I have a fig tree and there ain't no figs on it, either it's not a fig tree or it's sick. And Prabhupada would give the example. He said if you say you're eating but you're not nourished, he said either you're not really eating, like you're chewing gum maybe, you know, or you've got parasites in your system. What is the result? Judge by the result. What's the result we're looking for? Pleasing Guru, like Prabhupada said in Atlanta. You know, Prabhupada, how can we please you the most? You thought that he was going to say, distribute 500, you know, Bhagavad Gita's in an hour. And what's going to be where in this Manashiksha is the external result without the internal purification? Which verse? Or which metaphor? Which metaphor? Is the external service without the internal purification. Motive is wrong. Which metaphor? The donkey urine. And Jiva Goswami says those who are intentionally inattentive in their service will start judging their advancement by external results. And we'll talk about this more in Gainesville, we'll have more time. But what is the effect of this donkey urine and this burning? And one of them is that I must be an advanced devotee because I have distributed 10,572 books. And let's see how many rounds I've chanted. Okay, let's see it. 16 every day, and Ekadasi 64. And let me add it up, and I'll calculate it. You know, oh my God, I have chanted 567,372 rounds. I am an advanced devotee. We have to be very careful. When we say judge by the result, what are the results? The results are 26 qualities of a devotee. The result is Trinada Pisamichana. The result is the shining nectar of Krishna consciousness is filling our heart. You might be bedridden and in a wheelchair and you can't do any external results at all. And you may be having all the fruits of bhakti, and someone else may be building 100,000 temples and distributing tons of books and making all these life members and bringing in all this money, and their hearts burning in the donkey urn. You've got to be careful. The fruit we are looking for is not external. Now, if I want to get the internal fruit, I've got to try to do things nicely externally too. Otherwise, where's my bhakti? Where's my bhakti, you know? Putting together this prayer. If I just like slap something together and you couldn't even read it. You know, when I was teaching the teacher training course, one of my students was putting so much text on one slide, you know. Well, you're a teacher, you know. How much care you take, right? How many hours of care you take and the background and the color of the font. You know, putting this book together, I mean, there's still mistakes in it. You will find mistakes in it. We do have some diacritic mistakes. At least it's print on demand, so then we can fix it and print it. But you know, how you're combing through, and do we have all the diacritics right, and are the captions showing up, and the right color on the pictures, and right? We'll be so careful. And numbers, too, why not? How many preps you offer, how many devotees you make, how many books you distribute, how many temples you open. But don't think that's ultimately the result. That, you're in trouble. You're really in trouble. And Jatayu pleased the Lord. Yes? We asked this. Was Jatayu a success or a failure? Was Bhishma a success or a failure? When the cowherd boys, they followed Krishna's order. And they came back and they said, how is nectar turned salty? What was that, Leela? Nectar turned, that's Ananda Vrindavan Champu says that. They come back to Krishna. They said, we followed your infallible order, but how is nectar turned salty? We are a failure. And they went to the Brahmanas. Were they a failure? Oh. What about when the cowherd men were trying to keep the cows on the top of Govardhan Hill and they couldn't? They were trying. It said they were baffled and angry at their failure. We can assume the cowherd men don't generally fail. They could not keep those cows on the top of Govardhan Hill. The cows were running with joint front and rear legs over the boulders. And the cowherd men were going after them with their sticks, baffled and angry and frustrated at their failure. Were they a failure? What was the glory of that Leela to show how much the cows loved Krishna in the form of the cows? They were willing to run with joint front and rear legs. Did Prabhupada please Krishna less in Jhansi than he did in Juhu? No. What was the external result in Jhansi? Practically nothing. The external result in Juhu is going on and on. But was one more of a success than the other? The success is, do I please Krishna? Do I awaken to my love of God? And that anyone can do. You can do it if you're an invalid in a wheelchair. And you can't do anything external in the world. You know, you're struggling just to chant 16 rounds every day. Maybe it takes you 4 hours. I know some deaf devotees. We wrote an article about them. Back to God. We know some deaf devotees that takes them 2 hours to chant 4 rounds. And that took years to get to the point of being able to chant 4 rounds in 2 hours. Because how do they chant? They've been deaf since birth. They have to chant by visualizing each name of the mantra or visualizing the deities. What's their result? Do you think they're ever going to chant 64 rounds? I don't think so. You know, Prabhupada once put on the back of an airplane seat a crude drawing of Krishna done by a 4-year-old and he was meditating. Now, that doesn't mean Pushkar should paint like that. Well, we're not judging by the external result. You know, just paint stick figures. So if you love Krishna, you're going to try to be expert in your service as far as your capacity. And you're going to try for the external result. And you're going to work hard to get the money to build the temple. And you're going to work hard to distribute books. You're going to try to do your service expertly. But don't look at that as far as are you a success. Look at how your heart is changing. Look at how your motives are changing. Notice who's having the party in your heart. You know, look up and see what your shower head looks like. That's how you're going to judge. That's ultimately how you're going to judge. Is that all right? Does that answer your question? You have one more.
It's along the same lines. There's a letter that Prabhupada wrote to Balavanta in 74 when he was a temple president in Atlanta. And he said that you should do your service in the mood of chasing rhinos.
Yes.
But take protection of Krishna in this mood. So He wanted us to do a lot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 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 There's another life that I don't have it memorized where Prabhupada says something about the whole purpose of the externals is just to give us some practical application of the philosophy. And if you just preach to one person a day, that's enough. You know, you don't have to kill yourself by trying to do some big program you can't maintain. But thank you so much for bringing that up. Very important. Any other question? Yes. It's so scary to be in Alachua with all these.
Just as you were speaking yesterday and today, I was noting that it seems that although I may be at one level, still challenges of other levels even beyond that are still there. But can I actually hope to accomplish anything on those other levels, even though I'm not really there? I'm just a little bit.
I'm trying to get what your question is.
In other words, there's very more advanced devotees maybe, watching for a particular problem.
Mm-hmm.
And those on the lower level are looking at other problems. But can one, as advanced, be looking at all levels?
Well, that's a very interesting question. Now, let's say we got rid of the root. Say you went right for the root. Pratitashtra. The desire for prestige. Go right there. You're going to knock out everything else in one. That'll be it. get that dancing lady and her dog out of your heart, and her lover of deceit is also out of there. And you don't have to worry about the donkey urine and the thieves and the prostitute and the tigress and any. They're going on that. Most of us are not willing to confront that lady that early on in the process. So most of us go somewhat step by step. But also, even though we're going step by step, I don't see, no matter how you look at the process of bhakti, that you can put individuals into boxes. I just don't see that. I mean, and as a teacher of kids for so many years, it's not like that. You know, you'll have a kid who's, I was just in our school in Houston, and they had a second grader who was doing algebra. That's a seven-year-old kid who's doing algebra. But he wasn't reading Shakespeare. So his reading was at a seven-year-old level, but his math was high school. And that kind of mix is also common in us. So I may have some advancement at this level and some advancement at this level and some problems at this level. We get to a point where everything's there, but we do see that. We do see that we're not necessarily strictly at one level. Does that answer your question? Is that what you were asking? I'm not quite sure if I got what you were asking.
Yes, but a little bit more to it, that, you know, one is confronted by one's specific thing he has to deal with.
Yes.
But other things are going on at the same time he's learning or he's dealing with. And you just say, I'm not so pure that I can deal with these higher things, so just forget them.
Well, that's also relevant. You know, one needs to deal with where one's at. So if the main thing we start noticing is, wow, my talking is really not very devotional, if that's what we can become aware of first, the way I speak and what I talk about, my subject matters, what I listen to, it's even when I talk about Krishna, it's in a way, I was giving this example of this devotee who was talking to me a while ago about service, and half of what the person said to me was self-glorification, and very extreme also. I'm the best devotee in the world to do this service. No one is as good as me. And that devotee does it, but they have this fault. I mean, it was really extreme. And I'm sure, absolutely sure, that this devotee has no conscious awareness that half of their speech was just simply like that. So maybe we first become aware of that, and maybe if we have problems with lust, anger, greed, and donkey urine, and dead dogs, maybe we're not going to worry about that today until we take care of the prostitute and the tigress. Is that what you're asking? You know, that I can see I have those other problems, but let me take care of where I'm at right now first. That's totally fine.
I will just say, curious question. What I understood from a gradual progression, that lust, greed, anger is biggest obstacle, and then even though I may conquer these, but then Raghunath Das Goswami is putting a question that, yes, you conquer that, but you forgot to conquer the prestige, distinction, adoration, which is actually highest level.
Yes.
And then going to higher trouble, that the self deception mentality is literally has to go.
Yes.
But when I confront the simple-hearted that actually I'm just loyal servant of the servant.
Yes.
And I want to. So if somebody focus on that to the top,
will everything else go?
Yeah,
yes. That's what I was saying.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. If you went to the root. Now, you have a problem. Well, there's a problem, though, Prangovinda Prabhu. There's a problem that many times if we think I'm just going to go to the root, that I'm the servant of the servant, I'm going to serve the army general, that these other things may still be there. So you can do that. Therefore, Prabhupada says you can become Krishna conscious in a moment. You could go right to the root with this desire for prestige and take everything else down. But generally, that's very difficult because you're still so much in self-deception that you think you're going for the root and you're not. Does that make sense? You know, you think I'm doing this as a servant, but really you're doing it to get money. Really you're doing it to impress the opposite sex. Really you're engaging in materialistic activities in the name of service. Really all you're doing is talking about self-glorification. So it can be a problem with people, this devotee who is just glorifying himself, I'm sure, absolutely sure, that this devotee feels that they are going to the root. I know this person. I'm sure that's what they think. But they haven't even taken care of the prostitute yet. So there's something to be said for building your foundation before you build your roof. Now, because Krishna consciousness is the natural proclivity of the soul, it is possible to build the whole house at once. That's possible. You know, I know there's charity things where some, you know, person got their house burned down and a whole crew comes and builds the house in a day, right? You've seen that kind of thing? That's possible. It's not impossible. It can happen. You can go through these stages so fast that it's almost like you're going through them simultaneously. That's possible. But for most of us, the first thing we should look at, jiwado. That means the first thing we should look at. What do I talk about? What do I listen to? Make sure we have that right. Then what do I do? Then why do I do it? Then what's the engine that's driving the whole thing? Because we're not going to be very prepared to confront the engine if we haven't taken care of the others, and we can deceive ourselves about whether or not we're confronting the others. So, but you can also work on, I mean, it's not that you only have to work on what you're talking about and you can't work on your problem with something else at the same time. Again, we're not in boxes. We're not just machines. We are people. We are complex. And how Krishna is working with each of us and the devotees are working with each of us is going to, each of us is going to have a little different story and a little different journey. And some of us are going to struggle more with some things than with others. Is that okay? Okay, it's almost 9:30 here. Are we? Well, let's see if somebody else has a question. Is there anyone else who has a question? Any of the ladies? Anybody here?
Could that be also the analogy that Srila Prabhupada gives of the fan, when you unplug the fan?
It gradually slows. Yeah.
Gradually slows down. And when you cut the root of a plant,
the whole thing gradually withers.
Take time to die.
If you really go to the root,
right.
If you were to really go to the root of the desire for prema and honor immediately, everything else would be finished and you would become completely pure in a moment.
But as I say, beware of your foundation.
Yes, but most of us are not able, most of us, we're not able to do that authentically. It can be done. It can be done. But for most of us, that's not going to be an authentic way. Yes, Madhav.
Baladev Vidyavasan Thakur says, you have to know how to sharpen the axe, and you have to know how to cut.
Yes.
I would imagine that when you're dealing with one of the particular issues that you outlined, it might not be that you just tackle it, it clicks, and you've got it. Maybe sometimes you're working on it and you see yourself doing it and like, oh, this, that's right. And it's sort of a process and it can take a long time where you're just noticing the same thing rather than it's like, I'm instantly on level 5 now. Now I'm on level 6.
Yes, yes. That's very true. And in education, we have 4 steps. So the first, and if I had a board here, I would draw it. The first step is called unconscious incompetence. The next is called conscious incompetence. The next is called conscious competence, and the next is called unconscious competence. Can you remember that? Unconscious incompetent. We have our steps here. This will help. Okay. So we have 4 steps. Right? So the first step, unconscious incompetent. Next step, conscious incompetent. Next step, conscious competent. Next step, unconscious competent. So at first, you're a mess and you don't know it. You have no idea that, you know, what you're talking about is mundane. Right? You think you're posting all these Krishna conscious things on Facebook and then they say, what words you use the most? And you look at it and it's something like politics, you know. Oh my goodness. So you weren't even aware. Then you become aware. You start becoming aware. Wow, I just spent the last half an hour talking about how great I am. Or I just spent the last half an hour talking about movie stars. Or I spent the last, 4 hours listening to mundane. You just become aware, and the problem doesn't go away, but you're aware of it. That is a painful, uncomfortable step. You end up with what we call cognitive dissonance, where you notice the disparity between your ideals and your behavior. And everybody wants to skip that step. Nobody wants conscious incompetence. Nobody. But generally, you have to have that step. Then the next is conscious competence. That's when you're intentionally doing the right thing. Okay, what am I supposed to do? They may go together. Oops, let me do this. Oh, they're pulling me by the neck. Hey, devotees of Bhakavid. Okay, good. Hey, the other one's pulling me by the neck. Okay. Hey, devotees of Bhakavid. Okay. And it may be this conscious of what we're doing wrong, then consciously doing it right, and that's what sadhana bhakti means. It means a deliberate, conscious attempt to do the right thing, to be aware of the wrong thing and to do the right thing. It is uncomfortable. It feels somewhat artificial. It feels somewhat formal. There's a bunch of rules, and nobody likes it. Everybody wants to jump from unconscious incompetence to unconscious competence overnight. They want to just put the, hypnotic recording under the pillow, and you wake up, and all the stuff is just gone. I'm going to take one bath in Radha Kund. Sorry. So, there is some conscious competence. Oh, my mind has wandered. Oh, let me bring it back to Krishna. I'm chanting. Like what Krishna says, wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering, unsteady nature. And eventually, because what we're trying to do is natural for the soul, eventually it becomes automatic. Eventually it's just what you do. Eventually thinking about Krishna, meditating on Krishna is your default value that even if someone is talking about, the presidential election, you start thinking about something with Krishna. You follow? Your mind and your heart are just naturally going to Krishna. And after a while, it's so automatic, you're not even aware. You're focused so much on serving Krishna and you're focused so much on pleasing Krishna that you're hardly even aware that you're doing that. You're just absorbed in Krishna and in the service and any Mayan arthas and this problem, it's gone. You're just absorbed in the service. So those are the steps. Now, having said that, it seems that what happens with these different difficulties is that at a certain point when we really face a particular difficulty, really face it and really see it, then Krishna removes it. And I give the analogy all the time. You have something that you're struggling with and you kind of deal with it and it comes back and you kind of deal with it and it comes back. And at a certain point, you really look at it and let go of it, and Krishna takes it away. And at that point, it is gone forever. So a lot of the struggle with things that keep coming back is frankly a symptom that we haven't fully faced it. When we fully, authentically face various steps, then they are gone forever. But generally, it takes us a lot of kind of practice and going back and forth before we're willing to really look things squarely in the eye and say, okay, this is what I need to do, whether it's a positive or negative thing. So I think we should stop now. It's 9:35, and I'm sure people need to get on with their day. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai. And if you want to know where you are in your spiritual practice, here is the books. Will tell you where, what level. Check within yourself. You can come forward and take some books if you would like.
On Amazon for a higher price.
It's a little advertisement. If you don't buy now, you pay more in Amazon. Hare Krishna, just a special announcement. That today is the Vyasa Puja celebration of His Holiness Jayapata Goswami in the temple from 10:30 to 1. You are all invited.
Oh, okay, great. You can get it. You can get signed by Mother if you want. Oh, you didn't get an actual. I had to ask for
We're holding those two for somebody else.